New York City, border to border, and coast to coast. You're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are. Hi, how are you? Happy Friday to you on this sixth day of April, year of our Lord 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and don't look. Just cover your eyes. Don't look. Do not open your 401k statement. Andy's getting the kazoo ready. We're only a couple hundred points away from closing the show with the kazoo player today. But, well, the market's tanking. It's down about 750 points. And let's see, what could it be? What could it be? What could possibly be upsetting the market? Oh, I know, the same topic that we've been talking about for a week or more. Last night, the president responding to the Chinese, who said, we are going to basically fight you back. So they're not going to roll over here. And so the president said, yeah, well, it's like a card game. It's just like a card game. And he goes, okay, fine. So you're going to, we laid $50 billion worth of tariffs, $50 billion worth of products with tariffs on them, and you saw our $50 billion. How about $100 billion? Yeah, how about $100 billion more? There you go, take that. And, of course, China just says this is not going to go well. So they're getting nasty, we're getting tougher, everybody's looking at everybody else. It is just like a poker game. And I don't know where the $100 billion came from. It wasn't that anybody had done any work on $100 billion worth of tariffs. There was a lot of work. The trade representative, what's that guy's name? Lippenstinker or something. I don't know what it is. Anyway, he's he laid out very carefully 1,300 products and all these various things, and he had them all lined up, and it added up to $50 billion and everything else. And now, president turns to him and says, hey, slap another $100 billion on them. So it wasn't done. It does not appear that it was done with any sort of foresight or planning. This is Donald Trump shooting from the hip, doing what he, what his instincts tell him to do. So now China is getting just as tough, and I've got a stack of stories from people that think this is really bad, and I've got a stack of stories from people that, I mean, we're talking economists and so forth that know trade issues and so forth, think this is no big deal. Eh, this is just a bunch of, this is nothing. So I don't know where you come down on this. We've talked about it now a couple of times. This week, it might be the third time that we brought up trade tariffs. Who knew that we're going to do riveting shows on trade tariffs? But a lot of money's at stake, and I know a lot of the Trump supporters love the pounding on the chest and the standing up to China, because nobody has stood up to China in the past. And as a result, they have taken a lot of our jobs. They have stolen a lot of our intellectual knowledge. And so now you got the president standing up to him and saying, yeah, well, guess what? You just ran into me. And I'm a tough guy from New York, and I'm not going to let you get away with this. The question then becomes, is this all bluff? Is this just bluster? Or is it the real deal? Great piece in Axios this morning about the fact that how Trump governs by bluffing. And this latest announcement that came last night about the fact he wants $100 billion more in tariffs on Chinese goods. There were a lot of people in his administration and abroad that were confused because of the fact that he governs by bluffing. And this is how he's lived his whole life. He promises big things, creating on the edge, apprentice-style drama, lots of drama, and then he changes his mind. So he threatened to veto a spending bill that conservatives hate, but then he went ahead and signed it. And the word from people who cover the White House is he regrets signing that bill. He announced stiff tariffs on imports of steel and aluminum. That was it. Worldwide, every country, no exceptions. And then his administration started doing carve-outs for Canada, Mexico, a bunch of different countries. He talks about war with North Korea. I mean war, fire and fury war. And then agrees to meet with Kim Jong-un. He muses openly about replacing top aides, including John Kelly's the latest on that, and then lets him stay. He put out a tweet, 4 hours ago. Do you believe that the fake news media is pushing hard on a story that I'm going to replace Attorney General Jeff Sessions with EPA Chief Scott Pruitt, who is doing a great job but is totally under siege? Do people really believe this stuff? So much of the media is dishonest and corrupt. Yeah, they believe it because you say things like, oh, this guy's doing a great job, and then you fire him. That's why. So is this just the way Trump works? He's not a politician. He sees the announcement not as a rollout of a policy, but as the opening chess move in the game of negotiations. The word Trump uses all the time privately and sometimes publicly is he's flexible. Everything is up for negotiation. Everything. And he always needs a scorecard. He needs to know minute by minute who is winning, who is losing. And with foreign countries like China, his scorecard is the trade deficit. So the bluff is just his style. That's what he does. He makes a big question. He asks for the moon. He frames a debate around the moon. And there, well, we can improvise. It works sometimes in his business career. It also failed sometimes. Atlantic City and the casinos went bust. That one did not work out. It's also early in his presidency to definitively figure out what his negotiation tactics, how they'll work when you're dealing with countries as opposed to companies. Ian Bremmer from Eurasia Group points out that Donald Trump has always gotten some concessions out of the Chinese and the South Koreans. So the approach has not been a total failure. I'm not so sure about that. I like Ian Bremmer, very smart guy. But the trade deal that they just wrapped up with South Korea was basically a bunch of nothing. A little movement here, a little movement there. There really wasn't anything that was earth-shattering that we got from them. Nothing. So Axios says, a source close to Trump says, being a bluffer only works when you have a history of actually following through. Trump has followed through on his threats enough that it's impossible to determine what he's really thinking. He is wildly unpredictable, which gives him leverage, keeps people guessing, but it also drives the stock market crazy. Oh, by the way, the other day I got a tweet. It's way back in my Twitter feed. I was going, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. I was whining like a baby. I opened up my investment account and took a look, and I saw what kind of hit that I have taken in the last month or so. And I went, man, it's a lot of money. And somebody sent me a note and said, yeah, well, Trump has a lot more to lose than you do. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Remember when he first started running and had to file his financial statements with the Federal Election Commission? He has a couple of hundred companies. but he doesn't own any stock. He owns none. Zero. They said, well, you have to divest yourself of all. He doesn't have any. So he doesn't care what the stock market's doing. It was down 750. It's now down 640. Larry Kudlow, who I know Larry, and I can go back and get tape of him from a month ago before he joined the administration, where he railed against trade tariffs. So he's trying to be conciliatory. He's trying to say what the boss wants him to say, and it's helping. When Larry Kudlow comes out and talks about, well, this really isn't a trade war. Let's play cut four. This is Kudlow saying, it's China is the problem.
China is the problem, okay? China is the problem. President Trump is the solution, in my judgment. This is the first president in 20 years to have the backbone to go in and challenge China on the kind of unfair and illegal trading practices that they have adopted for the past several decades.
True, true, true. But at the same time, Kudlow's going, oh, these are just talks. It's the opening gambit. Don't worry. Nobody's instituted any trade tariffs yet. Yeah, but prices in the marketplace have already changed. Prices of agricultural products. A lot of this is affecting manufacturing and agriculture in the Midwest. And those prices have already skyrocketed. So it may not be official yet, Larry, but the market is reacting, and prices have gone up. But Kudlow, when he talks, the market does better. When Donald Trump all of a sudden surprises everybody with a $100 billion trade deficit announcement last night, the futures went straight downhill, and we opened up on a big negative today. So my question for you, is Donald Trump bluffing? Is this all a big bluff? And will it work against the Chinese? We're very proud people. 855-295-6600. Is he bluffing? We'll take your calls next. Be right back.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
All right, so is this a bluff or is this the real deal? I can give you economists that think that this is a bad, bad, bad deal for us. Others that say it's no big deal at all. China, however, has announced, they said, we will immediately fight back with a major response from the Ministry of Commerce. Said, we have no other choice. We feel America is very arrogant. They have taken a wrong action. The result is they will hurt themselves. We have prepared with a bottom-line mindset and have planned detailed action. We won't start a war, but if someone does, we will definitely fight back. That from the Chinese government. So it's Donald Trump, who has a history of bluffing. I think Axios is pretty accurate in the way that they have described him as a businessman. That's part of the art of the deal, I guess. You bluff. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. You can find my phone number, email address, links to my Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and my podcast. All of that's on my website, which is tomsullivan.com. Let's talk to Joshua, who's first in line today. Hi, Josh.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Doing great.
I was talking about, no, I don't believe he's bluffing. And the whole point about I just listened to what you just said about the Chinese response.
Yeah.
Of, hey, we're going to, you guys made a bad mistake or whatever. That was already known. They've always got the best hand because everybody would give it to them. And the only thing is all he's saying is, hey, we want reciprocal. We want to have the deficit you know, hey, we give you goods, you get us goods, and we have a nice profit together.
Right.
But they're only wanting it one way.
Well, they've been making a boatload of money off of us. No question about it. I don't blame them. Even Trump has said during the campaign he doesn't blame them. He blames us for doing poor trade deals. So,
I agree with what he's saying. I'm just saying, I don't believe it's a bluff. Because your question was, is this a bluff of his? Because he goes, but the heart of the deal is yeah, you ask for the moon and you get better than what you would have. He's already, you know, this is a different thing. Hey, we already lost $500 billion, so we've lost that war. Let's go get something different. So, you know, it's not the same exact of his bluffing that I believe that what you're alluding to is my thought.
Well, that's one of his techniques. He's used it many, many times. So,
asking for more than what he actually thinks he's going to get, you're absolutely right.
But right.
So that's what I was saying is I don't on this one. It's hey, no, our businesses are being demolished by having a lower steel coming in or whatever it is, steel and aluminum. The first couple of tariffs that he put on. And I think that it was the best.
All right. The question is going to be whether or not this hurts or helps our businesses here. Will it hurt our businesses? And if so, will they lay people off? And if so, then it doesn't work. If he can get it so that our businesses do more, then yes. But this is not just with China. Also, we got trade problems around the world. This is. Literally a global problem that we have done this with everybody.
What's that? Right. I think that short term, you're absolutely right. But I also sit there and think, you know, if you look at any of the other countries, I'm just going to take for, you know, like with Mexico, I know that if you're going to be a resident inside of theirs, outside of them, you have to prove that you have income that will be deposited into your account from outside the country to stay there, and it's the same. That was just an example that hey, that's how other countries look at people coming in, and the different things. And I know this is trade, and what I'm saying is not necessarily part of that. But I'm trying to give the ideal of hey, other countries don't even think like what the United States has been thinking in the past.
So you think this, everybody, I mean, I think we can all agree this is a risk, but I guess you're saying go for the risk. You're willing to take the risk that this will not backfire on us, right?
Well, no, I think the risk is going to be that it's going to come down. It's basically just be like everyone else in the world.
Yeah. All right. Joshua, thank you. I appreciate the call. Be right back. Yeah, so the question is, if you are sitting back in the bleachers and you're watching all of this go back and forth, this debate between mostly the United States and China, and if it doesn't, if you're not in the line of fire, then what do you care? You're watching a trade war in which the bullets are flying, but they're not aimed at you. The question comes down to, for those of you that are in the steel and aluminum business, for those of you that are in the soybean business, the pork business, there's a lot of farm products for a lot of you farmers, and mostly products that are grown in the Midwest. Start with the Dakotas and down through Nebraska and Kansas and then over to Iowa and Ohio and all around the Great Lakes. A lot of those agricultural products are the ones that China said we're slapping big tariffs on those. So then you get into the question, and this is where it's going to see who, you know, this is who's going to blink. Because at this particular time, there are prices dropping for a lot of those products. And as the prices drop, if you own a ranch that has pork, and the prices are coming down, and they've been coming down, by the way, at some point, it will cost you more to run your pig farm, to feed them, to take care of them, to go through the whole process of getting them to market. All of that, it'll cost you more than what you can sell them for. So you go bust. And that is the question, is that if we get to the point where instead of exporting your pigs to China, you don't have that market anymore, where are you going to send your pigs? Well, you'll send them to market here in the U.S., but so will your neighbor, and so will your neighbor's neighbor. And so pretty soon you have a glut of a product that can't be sent to China because it won't sell over there because of their tariffs. They'll get their pork products from Brazil or some other place in the world. They have pigs, too. And so as you start to flood the market, something has to give, because prices will come down. It's the basic law of supply and demand. If there's a huge supply, because all those pigs that used to go to China are not going anymore. You see where I'm going with this? This is why this is very dangerous. And if the Chinese want to hold out, they don't care what their people, if they suffer or not. They couldn't care less. The businesses are all state-owned. So they've got total control over the whole marketplace. They can just hold out longer. Meantime, the pig farmers going out of business. And it's the same exact story with steel, with aluminum, with whatever product, soybeans. I had no idea there were like a dozen different types of soybeans, but they're all being slapped with huge tariffs. If all of those products that used to go to China, especially the agriculture products, not so much the steel products, I'm worried about the farmers and how long they can hold up. So the president was on WABC radio here in New York this morning with Bernie McGurk and Sid Rosenberg. They're in the morning guys, the new guys over at WABC. And he called them because they, well, Don Imus used to be the morning guy, and he left last week, retired, pushed out. So Bernie and Sid have this morning show now. And so the president called in. And he said, yeah, we may take a hit, but in the long run, it will be beneficial.
The easiest thing for me to do would be just to close my eyes and forget it. If I did that, I'm not doing my job. I'm not saying there won't be a little pain, but the market's gone up 40%, 42%, so we might lose a little bit of it. But we're going to have a much stronger country when we're finished, and that's what I'm all about. We have to do things that other people wouldn't do. We may take a hit, and you know what? Ultimately, we're going to be much stronger for it, but it's something we had to do. It's not only trade with China. It's everybody. So we're renegotiating NAFTA. The European Union really blocks us out. They have barriers. We can't sell our products, I mean, to a large extent, into the European Union, and yet they have their cars pouring into us, you know, the Mercedes and the BMW, they're pouring in. With China, it's interesting. If they sell a car, it's 2.5% tax.
Right.
If we sell a car to them, it's 25% tax. Now,
right.
Somehow that doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
So we have to straighten it out, and we will straighten it out. I have a lot of respect for President Xi. We have a very good relationship, and I hope we work it out.
Yeah, well, I hope you work it out, too. But he said twice, we may take a hit. We may have a little pain. We're going to give back some of those gains that we've had on the stock market. By the way, for everybody that was cheering about the stock market, saying, well, it's because of President Trump. The stock market's going up because of President Trump. Is the stock market going down because of President Trump? Certainly a big portion of it is. It's this trade battle. It's, in addition to that, the Fed chairman was out today, and that did not help. And the jobs numbers for last month were lousy, so that did not help. So it's always, the market's never one thing. It's always a bunch of things. But the president said we may take a hit. We may have a little pain. The NAFTA deal, I keep reading that it is this close to being negotiated, the final negotiation. And we got the South Korea trade deal done. I don't understand why he keeps talking about the European Union has a lot of trade barriers, too. I give the president credit for that. But he brings up these cars about Mercedes and BMWs. Does he not know that they make a ton of Mercedes and BMWs here in America? Has nobody told him about that? Maybe he thinks they all come from Germany. They don't. So this is him doing what I think he feels is an instinct that he's had for a long time. Donald Trump's talked about this for years, long before he even ran for office. So now he gets to do something about it. And back to my buddy Kudlow. He says the U.S. is built on technology and innovation, and China is taking it from us.
China is stealing our technology, all right? Their intellectual property rights are being stolen, these forced technology transfers. I was on the phone last evening with my friend and trade ambassador Bob Lighthizer. I've known him for years, a great person. And we kind of walked through, you know, what is the heart of the American economy? It's entrepreneurship, it's innovation, and it's based on technology. I think this is a very important point, and I want to transmit his views on this because they're terribly important and they're on target. We cannot allow our technology breakthroughs, which is what's made America competitive and great,
yeah,
and with lower taxes and regulations, it's going to be even better, but we cannot give them away to be stolen by the Chinese government anymore.
All right. Here's a little bit longer, but I think this is the statement that Kudlow made that gave the market it dropped 500 points. I don't have time for it this segment. We'll play it when we come back, but it dropped 500 points, and then Larry Kudlow comes out, and the market had backed up to minus 250 or so, and then Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, said everything the opposite of Kudlow, going, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, we may very definitely have a trade war, oh, yeah. And the market took another dive, and then the jobs report came out, and the market took another dive. Been a crazy morning. I mean, the market's, what are we, 15 minutes from closing. And it's down only 560 right now. 855-295-6600. Is the president bluffing? Are you okay with it? We'll be right back.
Unpredictable. Unprecedented. Undeniably. Tom Sullivan.
So the question out of all of this trade stuff is it's a poker game. Who's going to blink? And China has, you know, they need us more than we need them in the overall scorecard. But China is also one of those countries that wants to be respected. And they feel like they never have been respected, even though they've been growing in strength and size. Their population's huge, but they have been growing in economic strength, global strength, military strength, you name it, a number of different places. And they want to be recognized as a real player in the world. And so by putting them down and saying, no, we're going to come after you because you've been acting unfairly, which they have, I don't know if this is the right way or timing to do all of that. Ben Kissel was on Fox Business earlier today, and he is convinced that these tariffs will hurt the farmers and your everyday American.
I think this is going to hurt the people that Donald Trump promised to help. It's going to affect farmers, and it's also going to affect individuals' lives in their living rooms. If you look at what's going to happen with televisions, over 40% of the TVs are brought over by China, or from China, rather. You know, when you get upset that your team lost the Super Bowl and you destroy your television, you have to go buy a new one, it's going to be an extra $140.
Yeah, it's more than TVs, Ben, but I got your point. I got your point. But this is truly one of those where you don't know who's going to win, but the Chinese, they have a couple of cards up their sleeve that they can play. One of them is certainly the debt. And you will get disagreements among economists on this. The fact that they can take our debt and they can just stop buying our treasuries, or even worse, they can start dumping our treasuries onto the global currency markets. And that threat is already having an impact. Our dollar has gone up while the Chinese yuan has gone down and down dramatically. So they are more than happy to watch their currency go down in value. And what it does is it means it is much harder for somebody in China to buy any U.S. product of any kind. And it makes it much easier and cheaper for Chinese products to compete with U.S.-made products here in the U.S. So we've got the $1.7 trillion in U.S. treasuries that they have. Some economists say, "Oh, that can be picked up." I don't know. I don't think it can be picked up without repercussions. And one of the repercussions is already, if you follow foreign currencies since this trade talk began, the dollar has climbed and the Chinese currency has dropped, and dropped significantly. And as a result, they're making it much more difficult for Chinese consumers, businesses, people, individuals to buy anything from the U.S. So that's one part of it, is the currency manipulation plus the fact that they have $1.7 trillion of our treasuries. Second part is, and I wasn't aware of all of this. I was reading through this story about all of the metals that they have that I've never heard of these metals before. They're mined mostly in China. We apparently have no supply for some of these metals that are out there. Most of these metals, they're strategic metals. They're rare earth metals, and the United States has almost none of them. We are almost entirely dependent upon foreign suppliers for what's called rare earth metals. So if China wants to mess with us, it could clamp down on exports of these rare earth metals, and that would throw a wrench into our supply chain for high-tech products. Because China isn't just America's major supplier of rare earth metals. It's the rest of the globe's major supplier as well. That's where they come from. Once in recent history, 2009, China briefly cut Japan off entirely after an international incident involving a collision between two ships. So it went to the World Trade Organization, everything else, but it hurt Japan in a big way. So the question is, with these rare earth metals, where car batteries, I mean like electric car batteries, where do you find these products that we need in order to make a lot of technology products? The things that go inside your smartphone. So this is This could, they could play that card. They've got some cards that they could play rather quickly, and it would be basically in one fell swoop. We apparently have a mine in California, but trying to maintain a domestic industry to mine the minerals and transform them into mining rare earth products at this place in California has been a struggle to, they can't make a profit doing it, apparently. And they've got tons of environmental regulations in California that basically make it next to impossible to make a profit. So China is not worried about the environment. They're going to do whatever they want to do. And they have some cards that they could play. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Kevin in Reno, Nevada. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Tom. You know, I'm getting a little tired of your whining. I'd like you to bring up a one-year chart on your portfolio. I mean, Donald Trump has done a great job with the market, and now he's using a little bit of his capital, or maybe a little, maybe more than a little bit, of what he's created to make us better off. You know, if you're going to do this, the big question is, should he be doing this? But if the answer is yes, we've got to change something. There's no better time. You have a businessman who's a president who's completely unpredictable, which works in his favor. You know, we've got a strong economy. I mean, there's no better time to do this. And again, if you're upset about the market today, go look at what it's done since he's been president.
I'm not talking about the stock market. I'm talking about jobs. I'm talking about companies that are relying upon shipping our products overseas, and they rely upon the Chinese business. I'm not talking about this. I'll throw the stock market in, but I'm not whining about the stock market today. Market's getting hammered because of the trade problems, because it affects U.S. companies in a negative way, is their fear. That's what I'm talking about, Kevin. And when they start losing jobs, then call me back.